Then it continues on, and I think this is important. Did you notice in verse 28 that there's a list that mixes up areas of service with gifts? Did you see that in verse 28 of chapter 12? God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. You could say that those were gifts, but they're kind of not. An apostle is a gift mix in a person who's sent out. Right? A prophet, in the New Testament sense of the word, is someone who's got discernment going on, wisdom going on, knowledge going on. Those are three gifts particular, more probably. A teacher is a person who's, you know, has a role that they're filling. Those are sort of offices in the church. Then miracles, gifts of healing, helping and ministering, various kinds of tongues. So he follows it up in verse 29. He said, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And the answer is no. The same way that when he talks about body parts, is everyone an ear? Right? Is your whole body made up of a bunch of eyes? Just no. Then he says, but earnestly desire the higher gifts, charisma. So when I said that there were... Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, pneumatikos, remember he said, there are varieties of gifts, but the same spirit, charisma. There are varieties of service, diakonia, deacons. Then there are varieties of activities, which is energema, you know, energy. That's where you get energy. So the Holy Spirit doing all these things and the gifts being given out, and it's not anything in particular in the life of the church, but if in the life of the church we're not knowing the Holy Spirit and reconciled with God because of the death of Jesus Christ and his burial and his resurrection, if we're not forgiven in light of Christ before God, then nothing else matters. Be forgiven today. If you've got anything going on and you know that it's sin and you turn to God and you agree with him that it's sin, there's forgiveness for that sin. Turn from it in Jesus' name. Is it a life-besetting sin that's a habit that you haven't overcome yet? Admitting that it's sin, knowing forgiveness for your sin from Jesus Christ, turn to God and ask for the Holy Spirit to empower you, to activate your life to overcome this sin. The power to walk with God. The faith that it may take to walk in freedom from whatever it is. This is the thing. Is in addition to faith in Christ, which is all that's necessary for salvation, be filled with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, and then be the living, thriving church that brings the life-giving message to everyone else in the world. Your family, your friends, your neighbors. This is why the church exists. Otherwise, God could take you home right now. It wouldn't matter if you were here or not. But who tells the story to the other people? The church. Our church that wants to be alive and thriving and bustling needs the Holy Spirit of God empowering us, showing us how we're made, what our gifts are that we have to contribute so that this place works. So that stuff gets done that needs done, and things get said that need said, and people get reached who are out there with questions this morning that don't know that there's an answer. They haven't even realized that they have a question yet. But the different kinds of people in the church fulfill the different roles that church has. So someone's going to get them, and someone's going to welcome them, and someone's going to feed them. And then someone's going to take someone who's well-fed and is going to help them to reproduce and to share and to be more of who they are, the way God made them, and to overflow and who they are and how they're made to be into the life of others. This is church. And this is what Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I pray right now, Father God, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that you would fill us, Holy Spirit, to the depth of our need, which Jeremiah tells us is beyond our finding out, that whatever we think is a cup we might hold and say, fill my cup, Lord, that you would widen our imagining of the size of the brim of that cup. If two hands held before us held a cup, And the brim of that cup got wider and wider and wider. And suddenly our hands were holding a very big bowl-like cup. Would it be that big? And if we were thinking, yes, fill that bigger cup in my mind of what I thought was how full something could be, was from cup to bowl, could we even expand beyond that? And it's just a metaphor, but God, we have deep need in this church for your Spirit to fill us. And as hands around a rim get wider and wider, and as we, with our hands around some kind of bowl, not a cup, bigger and bigger than that, and bigger and wider than that, and if we were some little kid walking in with this giant thing too big for us to carry, and if our arms were around the brim of something so much bigger than us that it took everyone in this room to get their hands around it, fingertip to fingertip, all the way around the rim of the huge vat, that we would say, oh Lord God, fill that. And if all of our outstretched arms around the edge of the bigness of whatever container could hold that much, if we could realize that our arms aren't so very different from the outstretched arms of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that it is just that much of his everything that he gave in obedience to your prompting and your leading, with the Holy Spirit filling him since his baptism. We just declare that we are that committed. But we can't do it. We're not Christ. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that the things that Jesus Christ said you would do even more than this would be found to be true in our life. Father God, fill us to the depth of our need and let us see our lives changed, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you have a list of gifts. You know that now. On the front of your bulletin, there's a place for notes. Here's other places you can read about gifts in Scripture, okay? Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8, talks about spiritual gifts. There's also several lists of activities in Scripture that require gifted people. You can look at Ephesians chapter 4, and it talks about different ways that the church works. We've preached about that in here before. I said that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 mixes the two around verse 28. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, it talks about marriage or celibacy being a gift. Okay? For people who are married, or for people who are single, as Paul is single, but each one is gifted differently. You can't go sort of beyond your gifting for very long. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, whoever speaks, whoever renders service, covering several gifts. And so there's another element of the role of spiritual gifts in the lives of believers. And then did you notice the way that the chapter finished? And I will show you still a more excellent way. Right? He's going into chapter 13. That's where we're going next week. Chapter 13 is about love. Chapter 13 is about the fruit of the Spirit. So as much as we could get distracted by gifts of the Spirit, what are they? What do they mean? How do they work? It's not the point. The point is knowing God, being indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and being active in the life of the church, the way that we're made, the things that we like, the things that we were made to do, in a way that bears fruit. Because it doesn't matter what you do, if love isn't the result, it doesn't matter. So if we became this the Holy Spirit wisdom church, you know, and we were like, you know, we know better than you, you ought to, you know, and there was no love, it wouldn't make any difference. And so that's what we'll talk about the next week. Chapter 13 is a parenthetical commentary about the fruit of the Spirit, while Paul is talking about in chapter 12 and in chapter 14, and even wider, the life of the church and the worship. And that's what's going on in here. And we just prayed for the Holy Spirit of God to fill everybody who said amen to that prayer. That's the same Spirit that came upon Jesus Christ at his baptism. And he went out to the desert in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a Jesus Christ who rose from the dead, who basically appeared through walls, cooking breakfast for people. How do we continue after this moment of prayer unchanged if we believe the other stuff that we've read? That's what's going on.